Support for the Morning News comes from the Homer Foundation. Spring is a busy season for community grantmaking on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Scholarship committees meet, city grants are awarded, and the Homer Foundation's Youth Advisory Committee reviews proposals and recommends funding for youth-focused programs. Information about community grants, scholarships, and the Homer Foundation is available at homerfoundation.org. The Homer Foundation. Give. Grow. Grant.
Today is Thursday, May 7th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. First up, Governor Mike Dunleavy is pressing lawmakers to act quickly on his proposal to cut taxes for the Alaska LNG project. Dunleavy says, with liquefied natural gas prices high and supplies uncertain because of the war with Iran, now is the moment for the $46 billion mega project.
There's a lot of movement now in the energy world across the world. Many of our Asian allies and others are looking, where are we going to get energy on a long-term secure basis? Well, Alaska's secure, there's no doubt about it. But Alaska always also costs more.
The governor proposed a 6-cent tax on each unit of gas flowing through the pipeline from the North Slope to South Central Alaska. That had cut state revenue by about 90% when compared to the existing property tax. The current drafts in the House and Senate's gas pipeline tax bills have a much higher rate, 20 cents in the House and 55 cents in the Senate, plus additional expenses. Dunleavy says neither one is good enough to coax investors to buy in or lend to a high-cost, risky project. House lawmakers are working with the governor's office and pipeline developer Glenfarne in refining their version of the bill. The bipartisan Senate Majority Caucus, on the other hand, is taking a more adversarial approach. Senator Kathy Geisel, an Anchorage Republican who chairs the Senate Resources Committee, says lawmakers aren't working with all the information they need, like the full cost of the project.
Really, if they want any kind of tax reduction, they need to help us with this bill, giving us actual numbers.
Kiesel says the project could go forward even if lawmakers do nothing and leave the existing property tax in place. It has all the permits it needs, and an advisor to the governor told Kiesel's committee Tuesday that a higher tax rate would simply be passed through to consumers. But Glenfarne's Alaska head, Adam Prestige, says a high tax rate risks the project not going forward at all. Here he is talking about the Senate's tax raid.
I would describe that as very burdensome for the project and potentially prohibitively so in terms of having a phase one project go forward on any of the timelines that we've discussed.
Prestige says Glenfarne is open to some concessions not included in the governor's bill. He says the company has agreed to create so-called community impact funds to compensate for the costs of building the pipeline, to include a spur line to Fairbanks and offer municipalities the opportunity to buy equity in the project. Dunleavy says if lawmakers don't pass something by the end of the session in 2 weeks, he is willing to call a special session to get it done. Dozens of Kenai Peninsula Borough School District employees took to Monday's school board meeting in Soldotna to show their support for staff amid ongoing contract negotiations. It's been over a year since the district and its two largest employee unions swapped contract proposals. And as KDLL's Ashlyn O'Hara reports, union members say they are frustrated with the sluggish process.
So many people packed into the assembly chambers that they spilled out of the building and into the hallway. Inside, students sat crisscrossed applesauce on the floor, and adults wore red for Ed shirts or held matching signs. Posters poked above the crowd. One said, "Contracts now," while another simply depicted a frowning face. Monday's meeting comes more than a month after the unions and the school district reached an impasse on contract negotiations. Superintendent Clayton Holland told attendees the gridlock is difficult for everyone.
We're in this position where we have to go back and forth on things. I get it's frustrating. I mean, there's times with my own team, like, I need you. What are you guys doing? You know, it's a slowdown. The whole thing is for everybody. And I get that is not a place any of us want to be.
Although the two sides have agreed on miscellaneous contract language, salary and health care remain outstanding. Since last summer, most district employees have been operating under the terms of their expired contracts while new ones are hashed out. Driving the discussion is a rift between the union position, that more investment in personnel is needed to recruit and retain employees, and the district, which says it's operating under the constraints of a crippling budget shortfall. On Monday's agenda was a healthcare proposal tentatively agreed to by the district and unions. School board member Micah Van Buskirk says passing it is an effort to break the stalemate.
The reason we want to pass this healthcare thing tonight is so that we get one thing off the table. We make some progress. We show some really good faith, some intent that we're really trying to move and we want to make progress on this. But at the same time, it is a two-way street. A negotiation requires two parties. It's not just us doing this. It is a discussion. It is a conversation.
Among other things, the proposal would expand the role and transparency of the District Union Advisory Healthcare Committee in evaluating healthcare providers. And it newly allows employees to group coverage with eligible family members who are also district employees. The plan would increase the district's proportion of healthcare costs from an 85-15 split to a 90-10 split, and it would implement new penalties for employees who receive care from an out-of-network provider by reimbursing 60% of the cost of care rather than 100%. The school board approved the proposal during their meeting. It now goes to union members for a vote. Lauren Dial is a paraprofessional at the K-12 school in Inilchik. In a healthcare plan, she says she's looking for lower premiums. She says a recent visit and follow-ups at urgent care cost her around $360.
That's something that I can't really afford. I had to, but I had to go without some groceries that I wouldn't have needed or had to take less trips because gas was too expensive.
Catherine Mendenhall teaches at Mountain View Elementary School in Kenai. She told the board she's frustrated with the drawn-out negotiation process.
I'm a special education teacher with two master's degrees, so I'm at one of the highest salary steps of our contract. And as the only breadwinner in our household of five, I'm also eligible for assistance from the food bank, which I need and get every month.
Sterling Elementary teacher Brian Crockless says one of his colleagues, another teacher, is eligible for the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps.
We shouldn't be looked at as, you know, those guys, you know, like they're greedy. No, we're trying to earn a living. And when I hear how many teachers are having a hard time getting by, that's the sad part. They should not be having a hard time. And that goes for both of our associations.
Union members will be able to vote on the health care proposal starting Wednesday at 6 p.m. Voting closes at the end of the day Thursday. If a majority of union members in both groups vote in favor of the health care package, it will become effective. If one or both groups fails to pass the proposal, the unions and the district go back to the drawing board. Longtime district teacher Robanne Stading told the board 40% of her contracts over the last two decades have had an asterisk on them to signify ongoing negotiations. She wants that to change.
It's not acceptable that my fellow colleagues across this entire district are having to wait and wait and wait for these things to be done. So I don't want to have to sign a contract again with an asterisk next to it. So let's get that done. Let's get our people taken care of.
The larger contract and salary proposals will also be subject to approval by the school board and ratification by the unions. Reporting in Soldotna, I'm Ashlyn O'Hara.
And that's it for this morning's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward, through translator K201AO, and online at kbbi.org. News tips and story ideas can be emailed to news@kbbi.org. Thanks for listening, and good morning.